background music. Now, how do I stop it? Okay, here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, 1.
It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What is up, fight fans? What is up, combat sports community? It is your boy, your brother in arms, Isaac freaking Feldman, aka the Armbar Mitzvah. Hope you guys are doing well. Hopefully everybody is getting through their week. It's pump day. That's right, another X.com live, this time being joined by a fellow thriver, not survivor, a thriver from the original at MMA A-holes. I'm ready for the dick size question. Chris, thank you for joining the program. Love and appreciate your content. Very original. I'm a radio lifer. I love the chemistry, the art of the conversation. And you, my friend, are talented. Where does this talent come from?
I was a delivery guy for 16 years. and I hated my job, so I became a DJ. I became a photographer. I tried every different path in life and all failed. And then I had some traumatic experiences with my personal life. I decided to stay away from the bar scene and start a podcast. That's what the kids called it back in the day, and I think they still do that. With my buddies, we would watch fights, react, and you know, next thing you know, we're hanging out, and gone to Law MMA, and Longo invited us to his podcast, and it was away we went. There's more to the story, but I just don't feel like telling the whole thing. But anyway, yeah, 2016, we decided to start.
Unmuted. What an idiot.
Are you a Long Island guy?
So Queens, actually Queens, but I have family on Long Island. Yeah.
I'm on the border of Suffolk and Nassau. Oh my God. Dude, you do a great job hiding the accent.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My wife gets mad at me because she said that you lost your New York accent. Sometimes it peeks through, sometimes it doesn't. I have a very hybrid accent now.
Excellent, excellent. So what were you delivering?
So boxes. You know, I was working for a big box company. I don't say the company, but I was working for 16 years. I hated the job, and, you know, things happened over there. I was delivering in, like, Queens, all over Queens, New York. I was like a dreamer, man. Like I saw this person had a podcast and said something. The first thing that you wake up and think about, what is that? And I thought, wow, the first thing I do when I wake up is I text my buddies, hey, who's going to win the fights this weekend? Like we would always have these chain texts of like, who's going to win. And, you know, we'd be breaking down fights via text. And I was like, you know what? That's the first thing I think about. I'm a shitty fighter. So let me do a podcast about it. That's how that went. And I used to watch like Rogan. Howard Stern was a big influence back in the day. And Rogan did the Fight Companion and ignored the live chat. And I was like, this is the dumbest shit ever. I was like, how do you have like this massive audience and just ignore them? So in 2016, I'm like, okay, we're going to start this show. Me and my buddy's going to watch. It was completely cringe. And as we evolved, we wanted to want to start a universe where we would just completely interact with the community. As soon as the community came in, we had the live chat on the screen, which we stole from the gaming community out there. Shout out to the gaming community. But we noticed that this wasn't in the MMA space. We noticed that like in combat sports, no one was really doing that and interacting with their communities. So we built on that. We put stupid graphics on the screen. We had gimmicks, bells and whistles. I started a cult, and 7 years later, going on 8 years, here I am, still an MMA hole.
We were talking in our little live green room, original idea there, but may get us in hot water. we talked about McGregor. We're both starting around 2016. What was it back then that really compelled you to start it for McGregor? I could talk on my own on this. And then to this day, how do you feel about Mr. Notorious?
So, I mean, back in the day, the dude was like a freaking god. Like it was nuts, man. This kid came out. I remember that fight in Ireland, and I remember going to my family barbecue, and I brought my laptop, and I was telling everyone there, I was like, yo, this McGregor guy, he's got that it factor, you know? And, you know, we all know the story of Conor McGregor. But when we started the channel, I would do goofy impersonations, really bad ones. And we would show up. We were in New York at the time. So I would show up at, you know, the Barclays Center, interviewing people, you know, outside of the venues, you know, doing Connor bits. You know, the whole rise was fantastic. It was glorious. And he had that swag where it was basically like, you believe, you achieve. You know, he predicted it. It happened. And in that magical time where Connor was at the peak, becoming champion, then double champion, I basically looked at that and was like, well, I kind of want to do that in the world of YouTube. Everyone was saying I can't do it. Everyone was telling me to change the name, the MMA Holes. I heard from many people, sponsors are never going to find you or care about you because of the edgy name. Your content's too edgy. Your jokes are too edgy, all that stuff. But I would always look at like a guy like Connor and say, well, he didn't give a, you know, a fook, right? He did it and it worked for him. I'm going to take this and throw this over to YouTube. And it's funny, back in the day in 2016, if you think about MMA YouTube, it was non-existent. It was a wasteland. There was no one doing MMA YouTube. There was channels here and there, but it wasn't like what it is now. Now it has exploded since 7 years back. So Connor started, planted the seed. Once he fell off, you know, we just started going in our own direction. But still, I still am a fan of Connor. Yes, he's a knucklehead. He gets in trouble. I'm still a fan of the guy.
It's taken me a while for him to win me back over. In 2017, I called him Money McGregor. Like he bit the apple. You know, he could have done the Nate trilogy. I remember Kavanaugh. Like, I love everything that Kavanaugh. He is the Morpheus to Connor's Neo. He's kind of has that common just coolness to him. I could see Kavanaugh leading MMA into the Olympics. He obviously has his like Wimp to Warrior program now. Train all to like Kavanaugh, Connor, whatever they put their minds to, I think they'll achieve. It was pissing me off for a while, Connor, with the Khabib, then the Miami stories, and then just being a complete a-hole. But I feel like, and now he's praising God. I don't know if you saw the interviews lately. Like, he's like, and God is with me. Like, he's like very, very grateful. It seems like his heart is compelled. Like, he's humble again. He's a white belt. I've seen like 3 or 4 interviews with the Roadhouse and Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, he has an equal because it's Conor McGregor and everybody else in combat sports and boxing included. Like, Conor McGregor is leaps and bounds above everybody in combat sports. So I feel like he's grateful. He's humble with the movie side of things. Interesting though. If I have to play out and for me, Conor McGregor pushed me into a cage fight back in 2016. Like, he gave me that confidence. I bought the fucking book, The Secret. I tell everybody about it. They're like, believe, achieve, get the fuck away from me. They're like, if I'm at a barbecue, I'm like, you got to read this shit. But
isn't it funny though? Isn't it funny? Like, how many people decided to make that walk into a cage or was inspired by this guy back in the day, what he did? Like, it's pretty phenomenal. And then you have the newer fans that see this version of Connor and it's not even close to what that guy was back in the day.
Did they take down the documentary? Did you see the Notorious one in 2017? The original documentary? Like, yeah. Everybody's telling me about this one. Oh, it's post-Khabib. I go, no. You guys are missing. The pre-Mayweather fight is the Conor you want to see. The Dennis Seaver, as you said, the Dublin against Barreo. I forget his first name. Chad Mendez, when he's crying, wiping the Irish flag with his blood. Like, that's the McGregor that more people need to see.
Yeah,
I think it's a shame that they ripped it down. I know you can find it on Amazon Prime, but that humble McGregor, I feel, is back. The thing that I want to ask you, do you think McGregor gets pissed off enough at the UFC? He's talked about December. Okay, then he mentioned 300. Well, it didn't line up with the Roadhouse media tour. Now he's saying June 29th. He announced the card. He's saying September 4th, UFC Noche. If Conor McGregor doesn't get his 20 to 30 million, especially after seeing what Francis Ngannou is making, do you think Conor McGregor could ever lead the charge of a fighter union, especially with the hot news that has just folded? Like, I think that could push McGregor to because he's starting to get pissed off, in my opinion, and he's 35. He still has at least 5 if we go 1 a year because he's that big. He could still make a good amount, and I think he's getting frustrated with the UFC.
Yeah, I agree. I was waving the flag of Conor definitely coming back for years. Even with the injury, I was like, I know he's coming back. I know he has it in him, this and that. I got to be honest with you, I finally flipped, and I don't see him coming back to the UFC. I know they're saying summertime is the target. I see Michael Chandler going on TMZ and saying yes, yes, yes. I have a feeling they're kind of throwing a little money under the, you know, to under the table to Michael. I don't know. Like, for Michael to sit like that for this long? I mean, how is he not getting paid somehow? I feel like they're just keeping his mouth shut. And when he does throw things out there, it's just to keep that hype alive. But I don't see Connor coming back to the UFC, because after watching that Roadhouse movie, I was like, well, he has another career here. Is he a phenomenal actor? No. Do people love Roadhouse? A lot of people are crapping on it. But at the end of the day, it was enjoyable to me. And there was a bunch of people that enjoyed it. You're not getting punched and kicked. Your shins are not getting split in half anymore. And what is going to make it worthwhile for Connor to come back? When he's being interviewed, I notice he's even talking about, oh, I got X amount of fights in the contract. I want to stay with the UFC. I love the UFC, but they haven't reached back out. I think he wants to go to the boxing world and do stuff like that. I don't think he's going to make a walk to the octagon. I hope he does. I truly hope he does, because honestly, I love the spectacle and it's great for views. It's great for the YouTubers out there and everyone that covers it on social media. It just gets views, numbers. It's fun watching people scream and yell in the live chats and the threads in the comment section going back and forth. Do you like McGregor? Do you don't? I love all that stuff. But unfortunately, if I were to make a prediction right now, McGregor's never coming back.
It's a fair pick. Again, guys, follow Chris at the MMA A-holes on Instagram, Twitter. Amazing work.
By the way, real quick, it's the MMA holes. Nice and clean like that. The MMA holes.
The MMA holes.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
That in the radio business is called a hot take. And I would say it's very correct, only because I believe he should be getting $25 million if he were to come back. But the UFC is saying, nope, 15, 12, that's it. Take it or leave it, because they do this all the time with Jones, and they know that time is the enemy of John Jones, that somehow he'll fuck up and he'll give them leverage again. With Connor, he has the leverage. He has the whiskey. He has the movies. Are they that confident that they say, Connor, take it or leave it, 12 to 17, this is the deal. If you really want to fight that bad, here's the contract.
I tell you, man, I just can't, fuck, I can't see it. I just can't see him back. I want to see it. I want it to happen, but I just can't. And I know the contract's there. I have a weird feeling that even the UFC's gonna be like, okay, this is not worth it anymore. We strung this along as much as we could. I mean, if you think about UFC 300, I understand that there's other people that need to get paid. You put Conor on a card, he's getting all the pay-per-view buys, so you can't really stack up a card with Conor McGregor. But still, it felt perfect. Then Roadhouse came in and all the promotion for that. It's always an excuse. There's always something coming up. And you see these interviews with Conor where he's stumbling and people are saying that he's having withdrawals and he's tired.
He's exhausted. That man's eyes were.
Most likely that's the case. But he does seem like, I don't know, like the mentality, even though you see him in the gym and it looks all fancy with him with NASCAR. You saw that clip with him in NASCAR in the gym?
NASCAR?
He has a guy that lives in his gym called NASCAR. In one of his interviews, he brought him up and then he dropped a video of him in NASCAR training. And it looks like he's, you know, in great shape and he's trying to get ready for a fight.
All white gear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
It's NASCAR. I don't know. I just uploaded a video and I'm like, I don't know who this NASCAR guy is.
I thought it was some like super talented amateur that McGregor's just like turned into a puncher bag. It's like, oh my God, I got to fucking spar with McGregor. I didn't know he's a YouTuber. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I don't know who this guy is, but you know what? Like another thing too is I'm the fact that he is a loyal man and he stays with SBG and in that circle and that clique, I feel like that's what's held him back. Even though they've done greatness with him, I still feel like when you're at this level now of superstar, you have the ability to go to any gym you would like. You know, you could train with the best people in the world, yet you're still stuck in this little pocket. And when you see guys like Ian Garry, I know people crap on Ian Garry, but at least he is traveling around the world and rolling and sparring with the best people on earth, whereas Conor McGregor is not doing that. And I feel like that's a big problem as well.
I agree. We don't have, I call it the yellow mats, McGregor, when it was like he's fighting the mountain where he's doing like 100 spinning back fists, where he has just the tights on and you see that humble guy who's focused on the goal, rattling off the 7 straight wins at featherweight. Like it's historic stuff. I did an all time featherweight list. It's Volkanovski. And then for me, McGregor number 2, Aldo Holloway after that. It's like, I think McGregor's greatness will be appreciated as time goes off, but how come McGregor really can't pull the plug? And maybe you'll know more about this and just do a McGregor versus Diaz boxing promotion.
I'm sure he wants to do that. I'm sure that is something that he's foaming at the mouth doing. I got to be honest with you. When Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal announced that they're boxing each other, I wanted to vomit. I'm done with that. Like who wants to see that? Like, who's going to pay for that shit? And I understand Nate's got his promotion.
I'm not going to raise my hand for the payment.
Are you going to pay for it?
I'm not going to pay for it.
Oh, okay. No,
I will give them my PayPal.
Yeah.
streams.com.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I want these guys to make money. I love Nate, man. Nate is the man. I was in the building when Nate choked out Connor, and I was almost crying in the stands. But the fact that the crowd was olaying, and then all of a sudden when Nate strangled him and everyone went to Nate's side and was going bonkers, dude, like, I get chills just thinking about it to this day. My friends were razzing me because, of course, I'm Team Connor. But I love Nate, and I loved Nate even more after that because I was like, that was a fucking gangster performance right there. And now we see this shell of him. He's making money. He's got his own promotion. But him versus George in boxing, I don't care. Francis Ngannou just got knocked out. This is embarrassing. I'm like, the whole boxing thing's driving me nuts right now. And I was just editing a video on Jake Paul, Colby Covington, like, kind of calling out Jake Paul and him cheating and setting up fights. Man, the boxing world is driving me nuts right now.
Really? All right. I was going to ask you about where the UFC would go with the broadcast, though. But since you
okay, I know. I'm all over the place.
Since you
welcome
said
to my brain.
You ain't Kanye West. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Tyson, some people call me the white Kanye. I get it a lot, so it's okay.
Is it okay that I'm Jewish?
Yeah. I like that. There you go.
There's a fireplace behind you. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry. Before I ask you about Tyson and whatever you want, sir. Before I ask you about Tyson and Jake Paul, you mentioned before you were a shitty martial artist. I know you're being modest and humble.
White belt in judo. Very proud of it.
Was it just judo? Were you training anything else?
Judo was it. That was it. I played hockey. I have a hockey background. That's where,
bitch.
Yeah, I love hockey. And it's so funny. People laugh because I chose a profession in covering combat sports. And here I am, armchair quarterback. I like to say this. I am the voice of the couch potato. That's what I am. I watch so many fights. I'm a professional black belt on the microphone over here when it comes to talking fights and even breaking down in a silly way. I'm very good at that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the X's and O's, I leave that to the professionals.
And you're a fan. You speak for the fans. That's what I also try to do. Come, like, when I intro, I say, hello, fight fans. Greetings, fight fans. Like, I'm like fucking Vulcan. The point is, a lot of people, I feel, they're the two button up. They aren't speaking for this crazy community because I've seen the baseball hotheads with the Mets, Yankees talk, Giants, Jets. But it's like MMA is a different type of lunatic. And I'm sure you've seen that from your end.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. By the way, are you a Met or a Yankee fan?
Mets.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, all right.
And Nick, let's go. Let's,
I bet you didn't know I was actually recording this with you in front of a live studio audience. I have behind me in the backyard, girl.
Thank you. You're the next Wendy Williams.
Yes, that's me.
Ricky Lake to throw it back to our childhood.
Yeah, but you're right though. The mixed martial art fans are very special. That's why I love the whole troll element to the MMA community. Like, a lot of times when I give my hot takes or I'm uploading a video or I'm screaming and yelling during a live stream about something, I like to stay hard on a side to get everyone arguing and complaining because they're so passionate. And the beauty of mixed martial arts or any combat sport is once your favorite fighter fights, win or lose, you can go on to the next weekend and you can hop on that dick or twat. You know what I'm saying? Like, when in the sport, in a game, like if you're a football fan, you have to wait a whole week and be miserable. Like, I don't know if you're a Giant or a Jet fan.
Zach Wilson forever.
All right. We differ on that one. But anyway, like, if the Giants, for me, I used to have season tickets to the Giants. If the Giants lose, I am like, I'm miserable, absolutely miserable for a whole week. If Conor McGregor or who, like, I saw you had Chris Weidman on. I got to check that out. Where can I catch that interview, by the way?
GiveMeSport.com.
GiveMeSport.com. Got to definitely check that out. I like Chris Weidman. He's a good guy. Yeah. So if Chris loses, I'll be upset for the night. And then I wake up the next day completely fine. Now, if you do know the fighter, like, then it's a little bit different, right? If it's a friend of yours, which we've made some friends along the way, then it's a little different. But most of the time, it's a person you watch on TV, and you can, the next week, it's a whole refresh. And I think that's the thing with MMA fans. We can just hop around from fighter to fighter, the flavor of the week, you know?
And I was just talking to Mr. Montavo, Justin Montavo's father. I was like, hey, I got to hop off the call. I'm joining the MMA holes. And he was like, oh, I love them. He goes, get ready to ask and talk about your dick on there. He goes, I love those guys. Justin, love those guys. Please give a shout out to Justin, to him. Tell him how appreciative he is about the spot and the chance to be on his platform. So, yeah, we got fans of you in different area codes. Not hoes, but different fans of you in different area codes.
I fucking love Justin Montalvo. That is like the most chill dude. He's so fucking cool, man.
East Coast Diaz.
He's what?
East Coast Diaz.
Yeah, man. It's so cool. And his girlfriend's a sweetheart as well. I did a stream with him. Like, we watched the Contender Series. Not the Contender Series. I think it was Power Slap. I think I forced him through a Power Slap. And we got high or something like that. And it was hilarious, man. He's like a man of few words, but when he says something, he's very funny.
It's true. It's true. He is very funny. And very appreciative of Justin. My dude, I can't wait for him to get his shot, his opportunity this summer. Dana White Contender Series. That is the plan. That is the goal. That is the operation DWCS. It will happen. It will happen.
Yeah, I hope so. So what happened with Bellator? So Bellator, when they got dissolved, the PFL bought them over. So there was a part of the roster where they said, hey, see you later? Like, what happened?
Yeah, and unfortunately, he was on the wrong side of that cutting, because it's like, and he took the fight on like 17 days notice, like a Diaz-esque, and fought a guy who was cutting or didn't want to, undefeated. I think he was Yagoslav's training partner. But it's like, we know the legend of Justin, but it's like Diaz growing up. But when we, a lot of fans, they see the record, they see the Wikipedia, and that's it. But we know Justin, when he gets that opportunity, in my mind, he's 28. I think he'll be top 10 UFC by 30.
Oh man, that'd be fantastic. He would be a great personality to slide into that roster. And I do remember we did a reaction. We were watching the Bellator event, and typical shit show Bellator, where they had him waiting around, and then the fights ended, and then they had like after fights. The poor dude, like, how long did he have to try to stay warm to get back out, to get out there and compete? Like, I thought it was nuts.
Exactly. I heard some funny stories about behind the scenes from that. They did the after. It was very like Pride-esque.
Yeah.
I wanted to share. I had an opportunity to follow Justin around before one of his Bellator fights. This is relentless plug, but I just big fan of Justin.
I'm only 25.
How long have you been? Have you known Justin?
Believe that this is my fucking time.
2021. So 2.5 years.
Okay.
He was in my corner. He actually
guys in The Walking Dead. It's Glenn, right? I don't know. I know who he is. I just don't remember his name. Yeah,
I've never seen a Walking Dead episode, but okay. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay,
he's an incredible crazy boxer. Enough.
He's really diversified. Yeah, his weapons and his
guys. If you don't know, Justin Montalvo has some of the nastiest boxing in MMA. The dude is a killer.
Every day.
Sweetheart. Yeah. No sweetheart of a guy. Soft spoken.
I'm not letting no one.
But when he's in there, game face. Be the best. Game face. Yeah. It was the lead up.
Cool edit, man. You did the edit yourself? Justin,
yes, sir. And I think YouTube took it down 7 seconds in.
Copyright?
Something like that. When you enjoy fighting, yeah, I just said this to Weidman after the interview. The way it worked, the pre-interview was better than the interview. The green room chatting with Weidman, he was like, yeah, man, big fan of Justin. He's like, he was a fat kid that came to the gym, and I'm so proud of where he is now.
That's awesome. He lives here. You know what's funny? You know how I met Chris Weidman? I did the video for his Gotham shoot.
Do
you remember Gotham magazine? Nice,
spectacular knockout that Justin's
not true.
Gonna bring to
not
Ken.
True. I'm a humble I like guy, the name, though.
I know how hard I work for this, and I'm not letting no one take this away from me.
Yeah, with his Gotham magazine shoot with Wonder Boy, and I got asked to do the video for it. And that's how we got to meet Weidman. And I met him a couple times afterwards. Never did our show, though. Like, I did interviews with him, but he never did, like, the actual Armijo show. So next time you talk to him, say, hey, man, stop talking us.
Segway, right? I don't know if you heard Justin said, watch out, Ryan Garcia.
Oh, he's calling out Ryan Garcia. He's going to punch the freaking cocaine out of him.
Yeah, well. Let's go there. I have the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul thing lined up, but we're just – and we'll get back to where you see the UFC going, broadcast deals. But I have no problem with Ryan Garcia. I know Teddy Atlas said he's having a manic episode. Yeah. And here you guys go. You see my algorithm. Let's see. There's no girls in yoga pants. A lot of UFC. I don't know who the top right guy is. Is that Theo Vaughn? Yes, I assume that's Theo Vaughn.
It looks like it, yeah.
I hope it is. Otherwise, I got some weird algorithm that looks like Jocko, something political. Oh, and Ryan Garcia down there. But yeah. What's your thoughts on Garcia? Should they pull him from the fight?
I think a lot of these fighters probably shouldn't be fighting. I've been watching a little Sean Strickland. I've been investigating him. I think he shouldn't be fighting because he's got some serious demons inside of him and he's getting battered in the head. I don't understand how CTE will help mental illness. I love Sean Strickland a lot, but like I said, he worries me, you know, more shots to the head. And Ryan Garcia, a young man who's got everything that he needs right now. He's clearly a skilled boxer, but another situation in the boxing world, you're getting more repetitive shots to the head than you are in MMA. And this kid's going to fight Haney. It doesn't seem like it should be sanctioned, but who am I, right? I got into covering this not to be compassionate, but to be a violence-loving fan. So I guess it should happen. I don't know.
Teddy Atlas is like, his team should know better than. And I'm like, man, boxers got it that good that he can say no to, what is he going to get, $15 million? Like, he can literally just say, nah, maybe I'll do it in 3 months. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? MMA fighters, they would slap their girlfriend the week of, get stabbed by their girlfriend back, and still step in there on the week of the fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, you see fighters in the worst possible situations and their corners not throwing the towel in. And you mean to tell me this fight didn't even get off the ground and they should not even let him collect this bag of money? I mean, I don't know. It's silly. You know, a lot of these fighters probably shouldn't be fighting, but it is what it is. It's what they signed up for. They know what they're getting into. It does concern me with Garcia, though. Like, it seems like it came out of nowhere because I've seen Garcia stuff before in the past where he was doing videos with Jake Paul and he was a young man with that fucking heavy, that fast speed and, you know, his movement and all that stuff. And now I see him and he's
beautiful.
And like, out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere.
And he's beautiful. Let's not overlook.
He's a handsome man. Yeah, he's definitely a handsome man, for sure.
He does not need to get jabbed anymore.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't need to work anymore. I'm sure his social media platform, he can make silly, crazy videos and monetize it that way. But he wants to compete. You know, it's in his blood. So let him go at it, I guess.
Teddy Atlas was saying, quote unquote, he's getting 5,000 new followers a day from this quote unquote manic episode.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if my little channel could monetize and I could make a living off of that, I could only imagine with the numbers that Ryan Garcia is generating, the amount of money that he's pulling in. I could only imagine. So, like, these fighters do not have to fight.
What does he say? Did I miss something? Or is it just the Jesus Christ? The Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. Like, am I missing something?
He's fucking hilarious. All I know is if I clip one of his lives and throw it on as a short, it gets a ton of views. I mean, he's got the it factor. And like you said, he's a good looking kid as well. Good looking person saying crazy stuff. I mean, perfect for social media.
Yeah. Is everybody trying to be like the mother to him? Like, oh, he's too pretty to say this crazy shit. Ryan, keep the demon down. Keep the crazy down. Like, you're too pretty. Like, we expect the Muslim Devin Haney to say this stuff. Come on, Ryan.
Yeah, no one's saying that to Sean Strickland, right? like people should be saying it to fucking Strickland. The dude he's saying he's going to kill people, guys.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And no one's saying, like,
fucking,
you know,
point. Great fucking point. Oh, right?
It's just the flavor of the week. You know, it's like, what flag we get to wave this week? That's how we are. We're so flip floppy as a, you know, as we consume all this craziness, you know? So I even changed my mind too. One minute I love a fighter. Next minute I'm like, oh, this guy's a lunatic, you know? So I think Ryan Garcia, if he goes in there and knocks out Haney, all of a sudden everyone's going to be like, holy shit, you know, he's the best. You know, he should have fought him, you know?
Yeah, right. He had Jesus in his corner. And yeah. Shout out to Jesus. This is his week. Thursday, Good Friday, the resurrection coming.
Right. Making a comeback, yeah. Come back. Come back season for Jesus. You're right, yeah.
You remember Pablo Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I used to love him. He's like, man, I love rappers. They get on the stage. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for my number one hit single, Suck Your Mama.
I always laugh when fighters make the sign of the cross as they walk into the cage. And I'm saying to myself, or I'll say to our community when we're live, I'm like, does Jesus like this fighter better than that fighter? Like, which one does he choose?
If you're a football fan, you remember John Kitna talking about this, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
John Kitna was big on that, like, oh, if I lose, does that mean Jesus didn't favor me?
Yeah, how does that work?
If you're bringing a higher power, I would just say, just ask for the opportunity. Ask for the opportunity, you know?
Yeah,
Nobody's telling you to go play football. Nobody's telling you to go fight, but you get the opportunity to fight. You made it to the fight. There's your opportunity. But praying for victory, it gets wishy-washy.
Yeah, it's weird. And if I bring it up during a live, I'll catch the heat from the religious community. And I'm like, listen, I'm not making fun of this. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. And I tell everyone, I grew up in Catholic school, right? I was brainwashed. I had all that stuff going in there. I almost had an older man touch me in a Christian retreat. It was a whole thing, right? So I am now a free agent. So if anyone like doesn't like my humor towards religion, I'm saying, hey, listen, I'm a free agent. You never know which team I'm going to take. But right now I'm open to the market. So make your pitch.
I mean, I'm trying to do my version of Ramadan. My father's Israeli, from Israel. My name is Isaac Feldman. No denying the Judaism. I was born Catholic. I was born in the Catholicism. confirmed reconciliation, baptized, everything.
Okay.
And now I'm like learning about the Muslim side of things. I actually interviewed a Palestinian fighter. I learned more about a Khabib, like the discipline that goes into the religion. Why are these fighters taking over such a disciplined sport? Like, as you say, a free agent. Yeah. Like my mind is not married to any single idea.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to live. You know, like be open. Take in the goods from everything, you know?
Do our partners agree with that? No, they want us to be married to one.
Are you married?
Yep, married, kids. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and is she religious or no?
When she needs to be.
I'm sick.
He's like, come on, Jesus.
That's what I say on my deathbed. All of a sudden, I'm just going to become, you know, I'm going to take Jesus in real quick just so I can get through the gates, you know? My wife's actually, she's a heavy believer, but what I love about her, she doesn't force it. You know, she's true in her beliefs, but she just steers clear of my crazy comments, you know?
Nice. Well, let's talk about one Muslim and, I believe Christian, segue Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. I'm on board for it. It is Dallas Stadium. Jake Paul, as long as this fight stays intact till July, is beating the UFC to Dallas Stadium. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, dude, I know the UFC, when they talked about the McGregor-Diaz trilogy or McGregor-Chandler, it was scary to them. Like, did they have to do John Jones on the undercard, bring back Ronda Rousey? Jake Paul, Mike Tyson is going to sell at the building? What are your initial thoughts of the fight?
I tell you what, listen, I know it's a circus. I know it's ridiculous. I did a video, go check it out on the MMA Holes YouTube channel, where I actually pitched the next matchup, which was, spoiler alert, Chuck Norris. I did a whole thing on it. But I got to say this, listen, is it stupid? Yes. Is Jake fighting baristas now? Like, he went from fighting like washed up MMA fighters, which I can't believe he beat Anderson Silva. So I got to give him credit for that. But I mean, Jake has a perfect path, right? He's just putting the people in front of him that he should beat, big enough names where he gets the exposure. And now he put himself in a situation where he's going to be in AT&T Stadium across the ring from Iron Mike Tyson, who is 30 years older than him. And then the icing on the cake is that it's on Netflix. I think it's a beautiful thing, because this is the first step forward into getting away from the pay-per-view motto. pay-per-view is going to be a dying thing. It's all going to be streaming services. And they did it, like you said, before the UFC did it, right? UFC's with ESPN, but they're still raping people for pay-per-views. Jake Paul, if you have a Netflix subscription, whether you like the fight or not, you could watch it. That is the future.
Wow. Wow. 280 million subscribers. In my opinion, I think 50 is the floor. 50 million people. It's in the middle of July. Just fucking barrel. And the 2-2 pitch comes to you. Oh, caught. Fly out in and over. It's only baseball in the middle of July. I think it's going to do big, big numbers. In my opinion, I think it's a little insecure on the UFC's part that they still do the pay-per-view model, because how many more fans would they have watching Sean O'Malley that can't buy pay-per-views or don't care or try hard enough to pirate it, like the 15 to 20 year old, if it was free on CBS, ESPN, big ESPN, NBC or Fox? You're telling me Michael Chandler versus Conor McGregor, if it was on Channel 36 in New York, ESPN, that's Optimum, Conor McGregor. Yes, Nate Diaz comes from the stands. If Conor McGregor
steel chairs
Michael Chandler, you're telling me that does less than the Super Bowl numbers?
I honestly believe that the UFC will be on Netflix. I think once that ESPN deal is done, I think the UFC, because I think WWE's with it, right? So yes. You got the TKO partnership and all that stuff. I truly believe that the next step for the UFC, Netflix is going to probably start flirting with them. And I have a feeling they're going to find a home there.
Wow. As much as I like when I hear Brennan Fitzgerald, who's like, and coming up next, SportsCenter, like, that's so fucking cool, man. It feels the sport is legitimizing. Like, it's like, yes, we've made it. Even though you and I have done shit, it's like, we made it. Like, We're on ESPN. Scott Van Pelt's going to say, hey, thank you for tuning in to name a random fight night. Yes, TKO, the forming of WWE and UFC, makes a lot of sense to live on Netflix, especially with WWE's officially on Netflix. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's a done deal, right? So now, I mean, I'm not a big WWE fan, but I know that they have a strong partnership with Netflix now. The one thing I will say, though, is as much as I want streaming services to take over and pay-per-view to die, it's our bread and butter pay-per-views, because people don't want to watch fights. And then when we do our fight buddies, that's the fight companion, we call it fight buddies. When we're doing that, I mean, we're literally, hordes of subscribers are coming in, donations, we're building the community because no one wants to pay to see the UFC. And that's all dollars that is not going in the pockets of ESPN or UFC, because they're going to YouTube and all these other streamers to get the information they need to get the outcomes of these fights. So if it does go to streaming services, content creators like us have to evolve with it. But listen, it's inevitable. No one's buying it. How could they leave all that money on the table? And Jake Paul has a young fan base. Like Dana White has said, I've been screaming about this forever. He's not going to sell pay-per-views, but those kids will have Netflix. Those kids will, you know, because they want to watch movies and TV shows. So it makes all the sense in the world that everything is going to, this is the future.
And we're going to be seeing Mike Tyson, Jake Paul's face. Like, they're not going to be able to hide the thumbnail. It's, especially being a live event, it's going to be pushed to the front of the queue. It's going to be a top 10. The replayability, the views, everything is going to be taken into consideration. And the UFC will 100% gauge those numbers, or if you're from New York, gauge those numbers and use it. Man, I thought there might be like a meta UFC, especially with Zuckerberg floating around the UFC. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing in Volkanovski's corner?
Did you see, what was it, celebrity boxing, where they did that meta fight? Did you catch that?
No.
Oh, it's so stupid. Like the idea is great, because you can buy a ticket and literally sit on the cage, right? But it looks like Atari. It looks like such a primitive way of consuming something. We're so far away from seeing that thing polished up. I think it's the future, but we're very far away from it.
Where do you see the sport? And again, Chris from MMA Holes, thank you for joining the live stream. Much appreciated, my man. You have that stream of consciousness, mind. That's the biggest word I've said in a week. And I really appreciate the way you see the sport. You are a fan of the sport. And I feel like you have that radio itch to you. I love the way you put your opinions together and the way you can put your takes together. It's beautiful stuff, man. We need more people like you. It's amazing.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that.
No problem. So I wanted to ask, you know, I missed the Pride era. I was too old for it, too young for it. And you get to see that it was just not no name, but just no nonsense, quiet. Not the best salespeople with the Nogueira brothers, the Fedors, the Alistair Overeems early in the day, even Chuck Liddell, Wanderlei Silva, just the expression, like a Yuri Prochazka, like an Alex Pereira, doesn't speak a lick of English, doesn't say much, but you're like, I can't wait to see this guy fight. Do you think that's coming up on age? Because I don't think we're going to see the Conor McGregors for maybe another 25 years, 50 years. A superstar that has that type of just dynamic pull. He's changed the face of the sport. Now I think we're in the humble warriors. Like if Lyoto Machida, like the Israel Adesanya, like doesn't break through that much to casual fans, I think we're entering that. Where do you see the sport for the next 5 years?
It's a weird place right now because I look at a guy like Sean O'Malley and we're kind of like neighbors here. I'm in Arizona now. His gym is like booming. I mean, these kids that are coming out of the lab are just monsters. But the problem is it isn't McGregor anymore. People are trying to make those comparisons. And now you have people like that Talbot kid that just fought. Did you see the guy with the hole?
Yes, big fan of Peyton. Check out his YouTube stuff. I like it.
He's a beast. He's an absolute beast. But it's a weird movement coming in because now they're comparing him to Sean O'Malley, and Sean O'Malley's got an it factor, but not quite the same as Conor. He stumbles on the mic. He's stuttering, you know, like he's kind of goofy. He's kind of dorky. And there's a demographic.
We're getting the tier twos though. Strickland, Israel Adesanya, Sean O'Malley. Yeah. We're not going to get the tier one, the star, the face of the sport. That's like every video game, every newscast, everybody's cover photo has McGregor in it. Yeah. I think we're going to get the tier twos.
Exactly. I don't think in my lifetime, I'm going to see a McGregor type personality ever again. I did an article for a Vegas blog when McGregor was in the peak. I was actually UFC 196. And I was speaking about like the comparison to Muhammad Ali, not saying that he's going to achieve what he did in the ring, but his impact on the UFC, what he has done altogether as a full package. I don't see that ever happening in my lifetime. Now, will it ever happen? Sure. I mean, we're only 30 years into the UFC, so there's going to be someone that goes crazy. I mean, when Ronda came in, she was that rock star. She was like that female Mike Tyson that, hey, don't blink. You know, we got to watch this girl fight. We saw the Ronda. We saw the Conor. Brock was coming from something different. Right now, like you said, tier two, it's like everyone is just kind of just plateauing and they just can't get over that hump. I don't know what the reasoning is. Maybe it's just he's just a special person. I don't know.
I don't think there's any coincidence why you joined this stream today. I literally was thinking of that the Muhammad Ali comparison, and it would be very Shakespearean if it stabbed him in the back. Dana White in 2017, leading up to the Mayweather fight, said that I think we'll look back at McGregor being the Muhammad Ali of this era. And if that happens, my point is the Ali Act. Are we going to get the McGregor Act with the fighters? If McGregor said, I think he could put a halt to this weekend's fight night, like he could show up in Atlantic City and tell the fighters, don't show up, don't fight, stop, everybody stop. Like, I think he has that type of pull.
He does, but I think he's a businessman. I don't think he's quite that guy. You know, I don't think he's the guy that's going to go in there. I wish he was, because it would be great if the fighters had a union. They could walk out. They can. Here's how I look at it. The UFC.
You got to grow up. I feel like he's done fucking off, or I'm hoping for it. Like the yachts, the drinking. Do you think like,
I think you have a better shot at Jake Paul doing that. You know, as disgusting as it sounds, I mean, I don't like Jake Paul, but I respect him as a businessman. I think you have a better shot at him leading a charge for fighters making more money, because he's kind of already doing that. Conor already paved a path for fighters to make more money. But like you said, they're kind of handcuffed, right? There's really not much they can do. Dana White is the fucking guy, right? But we're only 30 years in. Once Dana is gone, which it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere anytime soon, but once Dana is gone, I feel that is when the fighters can strike. That's when the fighters can pull together. As long as Dana's there, Dana's too smart to have a union rise up. He will be sliding money in directions, making offers. He knows what he's doing. But Kung when he's
Lee,
gone,
Kung Lee was like the guy from The Simpsons. By God, we need money. Oh, okay. I'll see you later.
Yeah. Remember Cowboy Cerrone was supposed to lead that charge? Remember that?
Right. TJ Kane.
Yeah. And then what happened? Cowboy, the Dana White got to him and says, hey, remember that favor I did for you? Like he was supposed to go to jail for something. And Cowboy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. You made that call. All of a sudden, Cowboy Cerrone's not in charge of the union anymore. He's like, nah, I'm a company guy. You know, Dana's not stupid.
Bro, Dana White hooked him up with that P3 deal.
Yeah. He thought he was riding his bull and shit.
I love fucking Lunchables for adults.
Yeah. It's nuts. Oh my God. I fucking love Dana, man. I love the business mind that is Dana White. I love the unfiltered mouth of him. But I do want to see the fighters get paid more, of course. I would love to see a union.
Can we get my hope of hopes at least? All right, Dana, stick around. Let's roll with that. Can we get the Saudi money to make the John Jones, Francis Ngannou fight happen? That's what I care about. Dana White will be wearing the chic outfit like he did on that Looking for a Fight show. Like he'll be singing the praises. He'll be at Mecca. Like he'll be fasting for the whole month. That's the fight that like, okay, we can look past the GSP Anderson Silva or the Randy Couture Fedor Emelianenko fights falling through. Like we cannot let it happen again. I want to get your thoughts on that, but real quick, guys, before the stream runs out, trying something new, I'm throwing in the chat if you want to ask Chris from MMA Holes any questions. The link is below his tweet. Check me out live. So if you guys want to jump on, we could give you a minute each. Just make it fun, make it fresh. That's it. I got nothing to rhyme with fresh. I was about to drop a rhyme, but I don't get a rhyme.
Yeah, I have no access to the chat. I try looking. I have no idea what the hell's going on. So come on in. Say hi.
What's your thoughts on Saudi being a big player in combat sports?
Listen, their money is obnoxious. And I love like that they're throwing stupid money out. Like PFL, it's amazing that they're still even around because, I mean, it's just a complete shit show. It's a train wreck. And they promised us that PFL versus Bellator thing that happened. I thought it was a complete hot dumpster fire. Like it was nuts. Like I'm watching this thing. I'm like,
make it free.
Yeah, exactly. Like what are we charging for that hot mess? But anyway, and then the icing on the cake is Francis didn't even get in the cage and face off against that big scary Brazilian guy that knocked out Bader. Like that was like a complete slap in the face. Then Ngannou goes in, fights Joshua, gets steamrolled by Joshua. Dana White's like, yeah, that ship has sailed. I don't think Ngannou versus Jones will ever happen. Ngannou's got stupid money. He's going to stay in the boxing world. They say he's going to the PFL next. That's what they're saying. I don't see it, man. I feel like he's got such an open contract with the PFL that he's going to do whatever the hell he wants. He could retire if he wants, you know, but I think he's going to stay in boxing. I don't think he'll fight John Jones. I don't even know if John Jones is coming back to the UFC at this point. I hope he does.
Oh, my God. Turn off the WFAN, man. This is like, so we get no Conor fighting. We get no John Jones and Ngannou. At least we got the UFC on Netflix. That's a win. Thank you, Chris.
Yes. Now, I'm not writing off John coming back to the UFC possibly one more time in the octagon, but it's going to be something like Stipe.
Yeah, you know, like of course, I'm down.
That's what you do there. But when Jones versus Ngannou, I will... locked. That's not happening.
Wow. It would be pure justice if Ngannou knocks out John Jones, because I believe Ngannou is such a great guy. And it's like John Jones has been skating by his whole life or his whole career in this godlike complex. And he's like, the 50 Cent song is about God that he walks out to. And he's like, yes, guys, I had a great fight. Cyril was a great opponent. Praise God. And psh, bitch, get my bags. Like, whoa, John, we got serious, serious issues going on here. And everybody's just like blind eye. Nope, never seen you. We'll relocate events wherever you want, John. We love you. Never happened. Put some ice on that, Mrs. Jones. You'll be good.
I might be in the minority here, but I actually enjoyed Ngannou versus Gon. The fact that that guy's legs were shot or his knees or whatever it was, and he resorted to becoming a Nurmagomedov and grappled. When I did the live stream, I'm like, guys, I don't know what you guys are saying, but everyone was booing. I was like, man, this is fucking badass that he adjusted his game plan and started grapple humping him. I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was like he's come full circle. He could do anything in the octagon. I thought it was great. I don't know why people are criticizing him for that.
I believe that too. He bet on himself, man. The UFC wanted him to lose. They I think Randy Couture was the last champion to, and it's a crazy stipulation. If you're the champ, you have to sit out a year, but it worked out for Ngannou because he had the knee injuries anyway, and he's facing some Romeo Must Die type of some ancient, that wasn't that ancient. That's like 20 years ago, that movie. But like, I'm talking some samurai shit, like Fernand Lopez and Cyril Gane, guys that he has been coached by and trained with. Like, it was beautiful stuff, but I don't think the Francis Ngannou book is closed. I think he was getting a little too big for his britches. Did you see the clip where he like wanted to have sex with, insinuated having sex with a female? I'm like, Ngannou, you're missing, you're dropping the bag, my man.
I love how like one minute he's the sweetest guy in the world, and the next minute he wants to smash a reporter.
Got that dog in him.
Yeah, I want to do you. Like, I was like, what? Bro, I'm like, did you just say that, man? I love it. I like that Francis got the last laugh. Even though he just got knocked out, he still wins. He still did what Dana White said he couldn't do. So I'm proud of Ngannou for getting that close fight with Fury. To get the fight against Joshua is amazing. Yes, it didn't go the way he wanted. The thing I don't like is the excuses. They had me waiting in the back for so long and fucking like this nonsense. He just kept on throwing excuse after the excuse. You know, everything was stacked against me. I showed up late. Now I'm sounding like Schwarzenegger. But anyway, listen, he's in the boxing world. They're going to make it easier for Joshua. They're going to make him have every luxury, whereas Ngannou is going to have to struggle a little before he walks into that ring. So that's going to happen. What are you surprised? You got $20 million, bro. Shut the fuck up. So, you know, I'm happy that he got what he got, but at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. I wish he would handle it a little bit different, the loss.
Cannot lose his fight in PFL against guy, Henan Ferreira. Like, he cannot lose against that guy. Otherwise, it's over, and Dana White will really, really chuckle like an evil Disney character. It's like Francis Ngannou needs to handle his business and then come back to boxing, whether it's Wilder or Joseph Parker, if he wants, or potentially, I'm telling you, that John Jones with that chic money. John Jones deserves that paycheck, that 25 mil paycheck. The UFC will never give it to him, but I believe Turkey, Ali Sheikh, His Excellency, will cough up that money, no problem. Again, thank you for the time, Chris, the MMA holes. So far, nobody likes to join. I've heard from the radio business sometimes, I think 7% of the people that listen actually call. So I get it, guys. It is intimidating. Chris is a judo guy. He trained Keanu Reeves for John Wick, all those judo throws. He's got the tats. He's got the shirt. He's got a kiln he'll throw you in. I got a middle finger. It's intimidating. I get it. But guys, we're not going to bite you. We want to hear what you want to say about the sport.
In fairness, I've had people on our show. We open up the phone lines and we'll have like four people call. And I'm like, dude, that's like, there's like 300 people in here. Where is everybody?
Exactly.
And you know, it's just, it is, some people just like the content. Some people are afraid to chat. They just want to enjoy the beautiful voices of us too. So I guess that's what's going on. That's all good.
I appreciate that. Well, speaking of your beautiful voice, your beautiful presence, your amazing content, guys, follow everything Chris, the MMA holes, are doing on social media. Incredible stuff. You got anything brewing on the back burner? Can you give us anything?
About to drop a video about Dana White being called Joe Rogan. I'm sure you saw the clip. I'm going to give you my opinion. So we're starting to do uploads. I'm usually typically live streaming, so we have the live chat fired up when I'm going live. But we're doing uploads to get more algorithm stuff going. But yeah, that Colby Covington making fun of Jake Paul, I got a video coming out on that. So go check out the MMA Holes on YouTube.
Incredible. Incredible. Is Erin Blanchfield going to get it done? I know she's not in New York, but it's tri-state. Are we?
By the way, I think, why is Chris Weidman not headlining that card? I understand his best days are behind him, but that place would go nuts with Chris Weidman walking in with Tom Petty, Atlantic City. I mean, listen, I like Erin Blanchfield. She's one of my favorite female fighters, and I think she's going to win. But she kind of looks like the little midget from the Twin Peaks. You ever see that dancing little Russian midget? That's what
I don't agree with what Chris is saying. I don't align with his opinions. Let me be clear.
Just say. But anyway, I think she's going to get her hand raised.
Well, I appreciate the time, brother. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
All right. It's always an awkward out. Love you guys. Follow, like, share everything. Peace.